I'm Rehard van der Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 146 for the week starting 22 May 2016.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of intelligent technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, we chat about Google I.O. 2016.
Also this week, MTN to ramp up South African spending by 4 billion rand above budget. And Nokia's back. Well, sort of.
Let's get the show on the road.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Rehard?
How's it, Duncan?
Good. How are things going?
Very good. Not as good as you going to a little music concert tomorrow night.
Off to Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden.
I'm looking forward to that.
So such a pity I'm missing that one.
Been a fan for many years, so I'm looking forward to that. They were last here 20 years ago.
Wow.
Wow, that's a lot. This is probably the last time they're going to tour South Africa.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Looking forward to the show tomorrow
night.
It's
going to be a good one.
For sure.
In the winter sun.
Anyway, right, so let's get kicked off with the podcast. And as always, we start with our quiz. Rehard, do you want to ask the first question?
Yes, the first question. MTN previously said it would spend 8 billion rand on its South Africa network in 2016. How much has it increased that to?
The second question, what is the name of Google's new mobile IM app that's going to take on WhatsApp?
The third question, MTN and Vodacom used which technology this week to demonstrate data transfer speeds of over 1 gigabits per second on mobile?
Fourth question, which of its products did Vodacom pull the plug on earlier this month? That's an easy one.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last question, which well-known American billionaire has acquired a $1 billion stake in Apple?
There we go. We'll give you the answers at the end of the show, and I'm sure some of the answers will come up during the course of the episode. So, Rehard, Google I.O. 2016, did you watch it?
I did, and I had to do it in two sittings.
Okay. But,
I was just a bit busy this week. But no, it was actually one of the best events I've seen in a while in terms of good technology on the horizon, I thought.
Yeah.
It was nice to see an outside event from a company.
It was nice. Outside in the sunshine. It looked quite pleasant, actually.
It looked quite nice, yeah.
Yeah, it looked really nice. Very different to what we've seen from Google I.O. events in the past. But yeah, some pretty interesting announcements coming through. A lot of it Me Too-ish stuff.
Yes.
But let's start with what I thought was the coolest announcement. That was the announcement of the Google Home device.
Yes. What a nice looking. I can't not, I think. But I guess it's the same question you could ask: would you get an Amazon Echo? But I think when the Amazon Echo came out, it wasn't the right time for this kind of technology, I think.
It came out quite recently. I mean, when was the Amazon Echo released?
I think it was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, sometime.
I thought it was a while.
Six months ago, maybe.
But something from Amazon doesn't seem as appealing to me as something from Google. Because, you know, Google is the guys that do search. If I ask Google something, I'm pretty confident that the answer is going to be the one that I need.
Yes.
And I think from that point of view, having Google do a device like this, where it's an in-home audio or vocal or conversation-based question and answer robot, really.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be phenomenal.
It looks awesome. I think the first thing I thought when I saw this thing was, Apple should have done this.
Yes.
Why has Apple not done this? They should have done this with Siri, and they should have integrated. My second thought was, Apple going to do this.
Yeah.
But Apple's just beaten them to the punch. Sorry, Google's just beaten to the punch, and watch WWDC in June. We'll see the Apple version of this product.
I'm sure, yeah.
But it's an interesting product. It's quite small. I would say it's, I don't know, twice the height of a deck of cards stacked vertically.
Mm.
And it looks a bit like a lamp in a way. It's got a speaker grill around the bottom, which can be interchanged with different colors. And then the top portion, and then four little lights on the top, which flash when you speak to the device. It's in the four Google colors.
Yeah.
And the idea is that it's a device that you put in your kitchen or your lounge or your bedroom or all of them, and you can just have a simple natural language conversation with Google whenever you're looking for information, like asking what's the weather like today, mm-hmm. or when is my first meeting, or what's the traffic like on the way to work. Which you can all do through your smartphone already through the Google Now application. Or the Google on Android, you simply use the speaker button on the widget. But really cool idea. In fact, Google gave credit to Amazon for coming up with the idea first, which I thought was quite good of them.
Yeah,
because in effect, it is a clone of that. But it's very cool, and my only hope and desire is that it comes to South Africa, whereas the Amazon Echo is only available in the US and only works in the, properly in the US.
I would imagine a company like Google aiming for a global launch on something like this. I mean, their search engine is as ubiquitous to search as you know, as anything.
Yeah.
For them not to do this as a worldwide launch, we might see them do a few regions first, but. Again, you know, Google's got such a broad reach in the searching technology that we've got. It makes so much sense to have this available everywhere. I mean, I guess dialect would be the only thing that would hinder a South African launch. You know, if it doesn't work as well with our accent, until they refine it. But I don't think that'll be a problem that they have. Not with their device.
Yeah, I mean, do you interact on a regular basis with Google? Do you have any issues with talking to Google?
No, I don't do it often, but when I do, it's fine. I don't have any issues. I think something that they also pointed out on there, or something that I noticed on the at Google I.O. yesterday was the amount of work they are actually putting into languages and dialects and words and search phrases. I don't see any issue with this working with Afrikaans.
Exactly. And the exciting thing is it's going to get better all the time because they're constantly working on it. So you're going to buy this piece of hardware, but the hardware doesn't need to improve. It's what's on the other side that needs to improve, and that's where they're doing the hard work and will continue to do the hard work for many years, many years to come. I love it. Assuming it's reasonably priced, I'm definitely going to get one, even if it doesn't work properly here. I just want to play with this thing.
Yeah.
The Echo costs $180. I can't see Google coming in for much more than that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I probably think $200 or so would probably be the benchmark where I would put it. I mean, if this thing, I don't know if the Echo's got as nice a set of speakers as what the Google device has. It seemed like...
You mean the Amazon device?
The Amazon device.
I haven't done that comparison.
When they lifted up the unit from the base, the speakers that were on there seemed pretty hefty. Yeah. I think that's the kind of thing you can definitely want in your home as you know, your all-round music entertainment
device. But with Google Cast, you can send it to just about any device. So if you want to, you can say to... In fact, they did it in the demo. Is it... Play
in the kids' room or whatever.
Yeah, they said play this song on, you know, play Miley Cyrus's song, whatever, I don't know what his songs are called, but play the song on the lounge stereo, and it'll just cast it there.
Yeah, with you'll probably have to have a Chromecast or something. Yeah. Sure. Well, they did say it works with Chromecast, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm sure it will work with Chromecast,
But, the one thing that I think that something like this would be a really amazing addition to the house is, you know, when you have a conversation with some friends and you just want to find out something, instead of pulling out your phone to get the information,
you just
say, what is the what population of South Africa, and it'll tell you the information it has. Or
and it just
how
wakes
many
up.
Eggs in this
and,
recipe. Or
and
whatever.
It just wakes up by saying, okay, Google.
Yes.
And good. No one's got a phone around.
If your phone just woke up, we apologize.
I left my phone inside. it's very cool. I'm definitely getting one. I'm definitely going to get one. Even if I have to import one from the States and it doesn't have all of the functionality because it's only supported in the US for now, this is a tech I want to play with.
And one of the things, just one last note on that, is if you look at... having a device like that in the house, how much of an impact is it going to have on the younger generation who's obviously, I mean, when I was growing up, I was hungry for information. I didn't have broad access to the internet, so obviously that was the first problem. But with something like this in the house, I mean, for you as a kid to go up, have a homework question, ask this thing, you know, it's such a more natural way of interacting with information than you sit in front of your computer trying to find it by browsing search results.
I think it's going to be great. It's fantastic. And can you imagine what this thing is going to be like 10 years from now? And what sort of conversations are going to be able to have?
It's going to be scary.
I mean, in the short term, you're probably going to be able to say, you're probably going to say to it, you know, hey, Google, please order me a margarita pizza from Colcatchers and have it delivered. And Google will say, okay.
It's already. I preempted your hunger. I checked your Android watch, and he told me you were hungry an hour ago. Here's your pizza. It's funny, but it's the truth. It's going to happen.
It's going to be very entertaining. Hey, Google, call my self-driving car to give me a lift
to come pick me up. Yeah,
and you get into your self-driving car and have a conversation with that as well.
Oh, man, what a wonderful world it'll be.
Absolutely, can't wait. So, what else did they announce? What did you make of Allo? Hello.
I thought that was quite interesting. Obviously, it was, like you said, was another Me Too type of service. But I think the way that they are going to be doing it, and obviously with Android, they've got a very broad user base, I guess, or probably a broader user base than an Apple-confined customer.
Yeah.
So to have something like Adobe be the chat application for various devices across various platforms.
Yeah.
I can totally see that happening. And it's about time that they improved it. I mean,
the most interesting thing I thought was the integration of the search engine into an IM client and providing suggestions.
And just pulling it in. And
that's pretty cool stuff. But this is very clearly, I mean, again, what my first thought was when I saw the demo, this was, first of all, why aren't they doing this in Hangouts? Because they have an instant messaging platform already called Hangouts. Why do something separate? This is a mobile-only platform, so it's very clearly aimed at taking on WhatsApp and perhaps to a lesser extent Facebook Messenger, both of which are owned by Facebook. So it kind of sends the message, well, Google is actually really worried about how successful Facebook is now being in instant messaging through WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger, which it is. It's massive. I mean, they've got over 1 billion active users on WhatsApp, and I think it's a similar number, close to 1 billion, if not over 1 billion by now, on Messenger. Mm. So Facebook is really winning that war with I think Tencent, owned by Poshnam and Aspas, following behind with QQ and... And what's the other one called? WeChat,
yeah.
So it's interesting that Google feels they need to release something new, additional to Hangouts, which works on mobile already and works on PC through your browser, and it works on both iPhone and on Android, of course.
Perhaps Hangouts will be integrated into this at some point. Maybe it was a new code base. That's kind of the things that I'm thinking about.
But this is mobile only. It doesn't work on desktop. And one of the things I like about Hangouts is it works on desktop and mobile.
And what we've just seen, we'll talk about it a bit later, with WhatsApp bringing an app to desktop now, finally.
It kind of makes sense.
Makes sense to have that integration. Mm. You're right.
It does. So I'm not quite sure what exactly happened in the boardroom where they discussed this strategically and decided to go ahead with the development of Allo, which is also not a great name, is it?
Hmm.
Allo.
Yeah, I thought. I mean, when he first said Allo, I thought Allo as in the plant.
Yeah, me too.
It was a bit weird. But when I saw it written on the screen, it was Allo.
Allo.
Allo. Yeah. Look, I can only imagine that a lot of these technologies that they introduced now was for the next generation of technologies that they're going to be introducing to us. So the base needs to be up there with
anyway, that. It's not out for a few months yet. So a bit of a pre-announcement from Google on that. But we'll watch out for that. But also did something called, what was it called? The video one?
Daydream.
Not Daydream.
Oh, not from Google.
No, Daydream was their VR thing, I think. Just go up on the story you're looking at there. It's called... There it is.
Duo.
The video calling app.
That was nice too,
That looks like a competitor to Skype.
Or
FaceTime, yeah. All of those sort of apps. Hangouts too, because Hangouts does video calling.
Well, what was nice about Duo, what I liked and what most of the people that watched this must have fallen in love with, was when the phone rings, you can actually see the person is calling. It's kind of like a live ringtone where you can see the person trying to phone you, which I thought was really cool.
It's nice. The competition could copy that quite quickly, but
they probably will.
And they probably will.
Apple will definitely
FaceTime. FaceTime is so limited because it only works on iPhone. But Hangouts does this. Why do a separate one?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's a bigger picture that we're not privy to.
Perhaps I'm missing something obvious here, but I can't quite figure out what it is. I'm a big fan of Hangouts, by the way. I use it all the time.
That's the primary way we communicate when we chat,
I use it all the time. In fact, I'm using WhatsApp a little bit more now than I used to use Hangouts, just by virtue of the fact that there's a desktop app for WhatsApp available. Mm. But I still use Hangouts extensively. I think it's mainly because a lot of people are on Gmail, and if you're on Gmail, you tend to be on Hangouts as well.
Remember GTalk? I mean, that's where it started for me.
Google Talk.
I mean, a lot of people that was on there back in the day still is on there now that I'm talking
to. I must say, it did irritate me that Google killed the native apps for Google Talk. for Windows and Mac. Was there a Mac version? I think everyone just used Adium.
Yeah, I think Adium was.
There was a Windows version of Google Talk, which Google killed off, which I was really irritated because I actually don't like to do my instant messaging through my browser.
Yeah, I also don't like that. Give me separate apps.
Please. Yeah, exactly. I wish there was a Hangouts app for Windows.
But I would be confident to say that Hangouts will probably be integrated into Allo at some point. And then a new app will come out. I think they're trying to
Allo
not
come to desktop.
Yeah, Allo. So Hangouts will integrate into Allo, and then Allo will have a new app that will run across various platforms and hopefully desktop.
Right now you can go to hangouts.google.com and interact directly with Hangouts through the web browser. I'm sure they'll do the same for Allo. Allo.google.com probably.
So tell
if it's
me.
It's not up already.
Yeah, probably. The other thing that I found quite interesting was that they didn't announce what the N in Android N is going to stand for this year in this iteration. They invited people to submit
ideas. Yeah,
but the first thing that I thought of, and I see that they're also writing it here, is Nutella. I mean, Nutella. To me, it makes the most sense.
Is that a dessert though? It's more of like peanut butter.
It's chocolatey goodness. I'm sure they could have
I've never had Nutella, so I can't comment. But
how could you not have had Nutella? It's never. The most amazing thing.
I'll have to go and try some.
It's like spreading angel tears on your bread.
It's an American product, isn't it? Hey.
No, I think it's not American.
Is it not American?
No, I don't think it's American.
Okay, I'll have to check Wikipedia.
Google, help us.
Manufactured by Italian company Ferrero. Oh, there we go.
Ferrero, yeah.
Italian.
It's the same chocolates in the Ferrero Rocher chocolates.
Okay. Nutella in a jar and spread on bread.
Look, if they don't do something with Nutella on this, I think they miss. Unless Nutella told them, no, we don't want to work with
it. But it's not a dessert. Well, so this marshmallow is not a dessert either.
Well, Nutella is like the base for a lot of desserts. A lot of people use it as a chocolate brownies or for chocolate cake. For you can just spread it on your croissant if you want. You know,
and it's available in supermarkets here.
Yeah, you can get it anywhere.
I just haven't been paying attention.
You can actually now, if you go to so many shops, fun fact for the day, you can actually get the little single serving sized versions of Nutella. Okay. So it's just like a one spread use.
Oh, right. Main ingredients, sugar and palm oil. That sounds very healthy.
No, look, it's wonderful, but it's probably not good for you. Like anything in life.
Android Nutella. I think I prefer Nutella. Nougat.
Nougat is a good one. Yeah, that's a very good one. Nougat. Nougat with Nutella on it, there we go.
But who knows? I mean, they went with Kit Kat, so Nutella's quite possible.
I'm sure Nutella sales will also go up. I mean, imagine getting a jar of Nutella with each Android update you do. It would be amazing.
Yeah, so not much on Android N. It seems like a bit of a point release more than anything.
Yeah.
Anything else that grabbed you?
I'm just trying to refresh my... Oh, the other thing was the instant apps.
Oh, yes.
That they announced. I didn't see... I mean, I'd love to play with that kind of technology more to really be able to...
Appreciate it.
But I love the fact that you didn't have to... So you go from a search to the app version of that search result, if there's an app for it.
Yeah.
Instantly.
And so what does it do? Does it actually stream a component of the app to enable to display?
Yeah, so what they're going to be doing is with the new platform, apps will be, or the way that they've developed the new apps, or the compatible apps for this, the apps are built in silos or in, what's the word I'm looking for, in little compartments.
Yeah.
So that when one of those instances are required, so let's say the video page for an app, it'll pull out just that section, maybe it's the user interface, and then the video it pulls separately,
right?
And it gives you that one page of the app instantly.
Okay.
So it just pulls that one part of the app for you without you having to download it, and obviously you can just click install the app.
I'm just wondering how often you'd need to do that. Is it something that you do on a daily basis, or is it something that you only use occasionally?
It'll certainly help the install user base for a lot of these apps, because if you go to company XYZ or you search for company XYZ, you get given a URL that takes you to the app.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be more likely to install that if you like it, if it's useful to you, than
that's true.
You know, simply than just browsing the website version of it. Yeah. Also, you'll probably be forced to use the app version of it as opposed to the web version.
All right. Interesting.
As long as the results that it produces or that it gives you back from your search is the best version to display on that screen for that screen size,
and doesn't chew too much bandwidth either if you're out and about on mobile data.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's streaming a big component of an app. It could use a lot of data.
But that's why this, when they compartmentalize these apps, I think it'll only it'll be a minimal version of that. Yeah, you're right. Sure. You don't want to download a 5, 6, 7 meg app.
Yeah.
But you know, for many of us who don't really care about the bandwidth usage on our mobile devices,
if you're sitting in Wi-Fi zone, then But certainly when I'm out and about, I keep an eye.
Do you keep an eye on your data? Yeah, I don't anymore. It's really for.
But
the
you've moved to a high data provider. It was AfriHost.
Yeah, so I've got like 7 gigs.
I'm on Vodacom
double
data,
so all that kind of beautiful.
I'm on Vodacom data. It's expensive. Maybe I just need to move. Maybe that's what I need to do.
Well, worth getting a second SIM if you'd want to explore.
Yeah,
but yeah, if you don't think about data, obviously that won't be an issue. But also, having said that, if you pull a badly developed website onto your phone with lots of high-res images and ads and things, you'll probably use more data than on a well-designed app instance on this Android instance apps.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's Google I.O. Very interesting conference this year. And, of course, Apple's WWDC, Worldwide Developer Conference, keynote is just a couple of weeks away. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. And, again, I think a competitor to Google Home is likely in the works.
Yeah, Siri, I would love to see.
Makes sense.
But again, you know, it's going to be a difficult toss-up. If you are faced with a Google Home device and an Apple,
which would you
probably a beautifully designed, probably works very well with all your Apple devices.
Yeah, costs 5 times as much.
Probably costs 5 times as much. But just because Google...
Guaranteed to cost 5 times.
Guaranteed, yeah. But I think just, I would trust Google's Google's machine a lot more.
Yeah.
Just by the way of...
And isn't the Bing behind Bing behind Siri?
Oh, please, if Bing is behind Siri, then I'm going to... Yeah, then I definitely won't get the
pretty
device.
Sure Bing provides search results for Siri.
Yeah, that's possible. I don't use Siri.
Oh, don't you?
Well, I only use it to set reminders or set meeting reminders for myself.
Yeah.
That's really it. Or phone. With my screen being cracked, you know, I often find it easier just to call person X.
Funnily enough, I use Google for mostly for setting reminders for myself.
Oh, yes.
Remind me at 4 p.m. to go to the vet.
Exactly what I do. I love it. It works well for that. It's a personal assistant. That's
exactly.
I imagine having something in the home. But anyway, we've spoken enough about Google I.O.
Yeah.
We'll get it for Christmas as Christmas gifts later.
For sure. And on that note, I think it's time to take a break. We'll be back right after this message.
Hello world. Hello information. Hello uploads and downloads. Hello streaming videos and low latency. Hello blogs and vlogs. Hello crystal clear video calls. Hello increased productivity. Hello online learning. Hello cloud. Hello long lost friends and missed connections. Hello limitless possibilities and instant gratification. Say hello to premium high speed fiber from Vox Telecom. Pleasure guaranteed. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Chicken or beef? Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
There are so many companies offering fiber at the moment, but with Vox Telecom's premium high-speed fiber, you'll be joining the Smile High Club.
Duck or salmon, sir?
We call it business class fiber. We guarantee our uptime and can tailor our services to suit your needs and budget. Say hello to business class fiber from Vox Telecom. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Well, welcome back to the podcast. MTN had a media forum yesterday, they called it, in Sandton, and it was actually a very useful session. Very often you have these media forums that companies call together for the whole morning, and you sit there and the presentations, and they tend to drone on and on and on with irrelevant stuff. But actually, yesterday's media forum from MTN was very good, and lots of good information. So kudos to the company for clearly doing a bit of homework ahead of the event and really coming up with some useful insight for journalists. And some really interesting stuff that they revealed there yesterday. The first most interesting thing I thought was that they've announced that they, at the end of the last financial year, in fact when the results were published on the 3rd of March, so not that long ago, they said they were going to spend 8 billion rand on their South African network, which is a huge amount of money. Last year, though, they spent 10.9 billion, so they actually outspent Vodacom last year. So it would have made sense that the spending was going to come down a bit. But 8 billion rand is still a big amount of money. It's sort of in line with what Vodacom's spending on its network, even though MTN is a smaller operator. Anyway, they announced at the media forum that their capex is going up to 11.7 billion rand, we'll call it 12 billion rand. So 4 billion rand increase on what was budgeted for in March on their South African network alone. So huge amount of money they're going to be spending. And I asked, why a 50%, effectively 50% increase, almost 50% increase in your CapEx spend from what you announced at the annual results presentation on the 3rd of March to just a couple of months later? And the answer I got from Krishna Chetty, who's the acting chief technology officer at MTN South Africa, was that the group board, cut the CapEx budget because of the concerns about what was going on in Nigeria and the worries about the fine there. And they decided to be, in Mr. Chetty's words, very conservative in their CapEx allocations. There was subsequent to what he called very intense lobbying by himself and his team to both the South Africa and group boards as to why they should dramatically increase their spending in South Africa, and both the group boards and South African boards agreed that it makes sense, and so the CapEx budget was increased to almost 12 billion rand. Sure. So they're going to far outspend all of their rivals in South Africa, including Vodacom, which is a bigger company in South Africa. So very interesting development. Yes. And they reckon that even though the economy is in the state it's in, they need to make a call now to invest for future growth.
Mm.
So a brave move, you know, a bet on the South African economy as well, that our friendly president isn't going to completely screw things up before he leaves office in 2019. So maybe a bit of a brave bet as well. Big spenders, and really interesting. But lots of other interesting little tidbits that came out of the presentation during the course of the media forum. And the other one was that one of the other ones was that they are finally going to create a platform to allow mobile virtual network operators to launch on the top of the MTN network.
Nice.
Until now, as you know, Rachat, it's only been Cell C that's been offering this. Mm. And Cell C has become more active in recent years. For a long time, it was only Virgin Mobile in the space, but now we've got FNB Connect and MRP Mobile through Mr. Price and a range of smaller players have all launched on the back of Cell C's network. A lot of them launching through an MVNO enabler called MVNX, which was, funnily enough, started by the former CEO of Virgin Mobile, Steve Bailey. But MTN getting into the space now, and the company hinting, Alphys Mangale, is the chief enterprise officer for MTN South Africa, hinting quite strongly that in the next couple of weeks we should see some announcements coming out from big financial services, presumably banking brands, retail banking brands, and retailers as well, who are planning to launch MVNOs on MTN's network. So there are not that many banks left. And I've been hearing rumors about Standard Bank and Absa. So we may be seeing something interesting on that front. In fact, I had a conversation this morning on something completely separate with a spokesman for Standard Bank, who said they're having a press conference in 2 weeks. Now that I recall it. So maybe there's
Putting
101 together then.
Interesting. That's good to hear that.
Yeah. So the MVNO space in South Africa, which was very boring for a very long time, is really starting to hot up. And with MTN coming into the fray, one wonders if how far behind Vodacom will be.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And you also mentioned something about custom contracts that I was quite interested in.
Yes. I still need to look at this in some more detail. But they have announced that they are or will soon be offering customized contracts, so you can decide if you want. Cell C's done it already, but if you want a 1 month or a 2 month or a 6 month contract, and you can it's like a contract builder. You can walk into a store, presumably do it on the web at some point as well, and you can say, well, I want a month to month contract. I want to pay off the device through you guys. And I want 500 megs of data, and I want 100 minutes. Mm. And then they'll say, okay, with all of this, we can do this package or this package or this package. Nice. Or rather, this is your tailored package, because that's exactly what you want.
Yeah.
And this is how much it's going to cost you. Makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
It's the sort of thing I wish DSTV would do. Of course, won't do, because the economics don't make sense. But, yeah. I think everyone wants bespoke a DSTV package where you can say, well, I want Mnet, SuperSport 1, SuperSport 3, and CNN.
Yeah.
They won't do that, but certainly the mobile operators are trying to do it, so maybe there's hope on that front.
I just hope, it's great to have some of our customer contracts, but it really would be a necessity to have a good online presence for these things. And it goes for a lot of these companies. And again, the only company that I've really seen that's done it well, and Afrios. I've mentioned it before, is Afrios. So yeah. They're back in. Probably the main reason why I've moved my ADSL stuff away from them because I'm not doing it, but it's the main reason why I'm going to keep my cell phone data with them. It's just the best way to manage it.
For sure. And that makes absolute sense. I mean, I wish all the operators would do it. Just go onto their website, click, 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 check out, pay. Some delivered. There you go.
Exactly. And it makes sense for something like a custom contract. You know, you want to go on the side, maybe have some fancy sliders that tell you what your current usage is based on what you should be getting.
Yeah.
And what.
Yeah. And once we go to eSIM technology, once we actually get rid of these physical SIMs, which is going to be happening in the not-too-distant future, then you'll get your handset and you'll just set it up. You'll go on, okay, which operator are you interested in? Click MTN, what, you know, how many minutes, how much data, blah, blah, blah. And then and there'll even be websites, I'm sure, that you know, companies like Terrific, for example, will probably offer the ability to simply say, well, this is what you want, this is the operator you should go to.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you make a judgment call based on what you think of the network quality.
Yeah. I just hope these kind of custom contracts don't take a premium where you lose out because they didn't design a bundle to optimize a specific part of it, whether it's voice minutes or SMS minutes. But yeah, we'll see.
Anyway, so that's MTN. What else was there to talk about this week? Oh, Nokia. Did you see the news?
They are maybe coming back.
They are coming back. Nokia as a brand is going to be on cell phones again. Not that they actually really disappeared, because they've continued to appear on feature phones all this time, but they certainly slowly disappeared off smartphones and been replaced with the Microsoft branding, with Microsoft, in effect, really giving up on the Nokia acquisition. They really screwed it up, didn't they?
They did. And I mean, it's let's be honest, it's Nokia is the one brand that I think generations will still know as the original. They were the guys, you know, that made cell phones.
Yeah,
they are today,
and made great phones until about 2007, 2008, when they lost the plot. Yeah, they didn't have an answer to the iPhone, and there were other manufacturers, but Nokia was the biggest cell phone company in the world by a large margin. They no longer hold that spot at all. So anyway, Nokia. I mean, it's history now, but Nokia was sold to Microsoft back in 2014, I think it was. And they failed to do much with that acquisition. Nokia, of course, was in a lot of trouble then already. They'd, they struggled to come up with a compelling answer to the iPhone, and they considered going to Android, but then they got this offer from Microsoft, and they jumped off the burning platform. Unfortunately, they died on the way down. they chose the wrong option. They chose a. I'm trying to think of a good analogy here. they landed in a shark's teeth instead of. Landing in the lifeboat. They went for Windows Phone, and Windows Phone's been a disaster.
That was probably one of their biggest flaws when they chose back the wrong horse.
Yeah, and you know, Microsoft now is all but given up on Windows on mobile.
Mm.
They're still developing it. Probably doesn't cost them much to develop it anymore, but consumers aren't interested. Their market share's fallen off a cliff from its very low levels that they already were sitting at. And Microsoft is developing for iOS and Android. They've decided to become a platform agnostic developer of cloud-based software services, which is the right strategy for Microsoft. But unfortunately, it's left Nokia and up a certain creek without a paddle.
It's going to take them a while to get back to their former glory days.
Yes.
But let's hope that they've taken from their learnings. I mean,
so Nokia, so let's see what's happened here. Microsoft has effectively sold the feature phone business to Foxconn, which is the company, of course, that makes iPhones and a lot of other devices.
All the components, yeah.
Now, it says, under a strategic agreement covering branding and intellectual property licenses, Nokia Technologies, which is a subsidiary of Nokia, will grant HMD Global, a newly founded company based in Finland, an exclusive global license to create Nokia-branded mobile phones and tablets for the next 10 years.
Hmm.
Under the agreement, Nokia will receive royalty payments from HMD for sales of Nokia-branded mobile products. So, technically, Nokia isn't actually going to be making phones again, but they've licensed this company called HMD on an exclusive 10-year rights to make these devices and to use the Nokia brand. So for all intents and purposes, people are going to be seeing Nokia as the brand in the market.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going to start by making Android smartphones, which is what Microsoft is so desperate to stop them from doing in the first place, which is what I think led to the acquisition. Because Nokia, the rumor was that Nokia was considering adopting Android, as we've seen BlackBerry do in the last few months. And they didn't want that. They wanted them to continue to use Windows Phone, and that may have prompted Steve Ballmer to do the acquisition. So they're going to be bringing out phones. No real details on yet on exactly what's coming. Phones and tablets, Nokia branding, probably running Android. We'll be running Android, probably exclusively running Android. But yeah, that's the gist of the news. And the feature phone business sold to Foxconn.
Interesting. Let's just hope this is not going to turn into another HTC type of disaster we've seen over the last decade with HTC, who kind of went down a similar road when other people were developing their phones, and then they developed their phones and didn't follow the right guys. Let's hope these guys get it right.
This HMD company is certainly going to be a lot smaller and have a lot less R&D money and that sort of thing to invest than Nokia ever did when during its heyday. And one worries that, you know, do they actually have the wherewithal to take on companies like Samsung and even players like LG and Sony?
Because the worry is if they don't, they're just going to become another fourth-tier brand, it's really going to do the Nokia branding harm.
It'll do the Nokia brand harm if they bring out rubbish. They really need to bring out desirable devices. People want to actually, whoa, Nokia, I've got to own one of those again.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's so much brand goodwill to Nokia, despite the screw-ups they've made after 2008. Despite Windows Phone, there's still a lot of brand loyalty towards Microsoft, towards Nokia.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, I'm one of them, would go back to the brand if they released a great device.
Yeah.
Especially if it was running Android.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm.
Yeah, so that's Nokia. I think we should wrap up the show there, Rehat. Let's get to our... before we do that, though, let's get to our usual features. Our winner and loser of the week. Our winner this week is APSA, because they've announced just this week that they're going to be zero-rating customers' data for access to their website. To their website and to their mobile apps. But it makes a lot of sense. So even if you've been hard-capped... on your mobile, no data left, or on your DSL or whatever, you've got no data, you can still do your banking.
That's brilliant.
Which is excellent. So APSA has announced they're working with the mobile operators. It's mobile, sorry, not DSL. It's mobile. And they're working with all the mobile operators. And I hear Capitec has done the same thing. They just didn't put out a press release about it. Both APSA and Capitec apparently offering the zero rating option for banking on their sites. Let's hope the other banks do it as well.
Yeah.
Although, to be honest, the mobile operator should offer zero rating access to the bank's website.
To these things.
So that's our winner this week, APSA. And our loser this week is Ultron for posting a 1.1 billion rand loss.
Ouch.
And suspending their dividend. A big loss, but I think the worst may be over for Ultron, looking at the numbers. They're going through a big restructuring exercise. They're selling off non-core assets. They've sold the Autopage business. They're busy restructuring. They're selling off parts of PowerTech. They're looking to get rid of all of their legacy manufacturing businesses. They're looking to bring in partners or sell the UEC set-top box business, which just hasn't done well. They've closed down the LTEC node. They've done a lot of restructuring work. There's still more to do, but I think the worst maybe over for Ultron. I think we can't overlook the fact that they've reported a 1.1 billion rand loss, and after years of being a reliable dividend payer, they're no longer paying dividends. So that's our loser this week, Ultron. Perhaps we'll make them a winner at some point in the future once they've turned the operations around. Yeah. And our picks this week, Rehat, what are you going to choose?
So something I've been using quite a lot since they announced this is the desktop version or the app version of WhatsApp for macOS. I haven't tried on any other platform.
I'm using it on Windows. Now.
And is it just as good?
It's fine.
It's crazy how quickly WhatsApp became such an integral part of my communications strategy, if I can put it like that.
Oh, yes.
And the problem is the damn groups everybody puts you on. It's the best way to keep abreast of all the conversations you're having with all these people when you have a proper desktop app.
They're brilliant. I mean, we're organizing Iron Maiden tomorrow through WhatsApp groups.
Makes so much sense. And the app is beautiful. It works well. It launches instantly. I used to use the web version for a while, but that was just cumbersome. You still need to kind of wait for your phone to be connected and all that with this.
It was cumbersome. Although it's still similar, it's not a true desktop app.
No.
In that it's still kind of the web experience. And I'm not sure exactly what technology they've built this on top of, but it's not 100% a native app. It's still a kind of a web-based experience, and you still have to have your phone nearby to use it.
Yeah. But although not nearby, I forgot my phone at home a week ago, and I used this app. My phone obviously was logged in on online.
Doesn't have to be in the same Wi-Fi network.
Well, it worked for me.
That's interesting.
I missed a lot of chats that day. No. But it seemed like it was on, and
maybe
it seemed
it
like it was
maybe it does
logged
work.
In. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's brilliant. I use it all the time now because, you know, during the day especially, you're sitting at your desk, people are WhatsApping you. It's a pain. Mm-hmm. It's an interruption. Mm-hmm. You've got to pick up your phone. You've got to type on this tiny little key, on-screen keyboard. Text whatever. On WhatsApp, you can see the message on your desktop. You just see them popping into your taskbar, and you click on the WhatsApp icon, and you quickly reply, and it's fast because it's typing on your keyboard.
Yeah.
And it's a lot less disruptive to your flow of work. So, yeah, I'm using it as well. It's great. It's fantastic. Well done to them.
Yeah, great. But as we're saying it, it's not loading on my phone, my desktop now. But it was working flawlessly up until today.
I noticed that if you use it across devices, across desktops, it's a bit of a pain. So I was using it on my laptop, and I've stopped doing that. I just use it on my desktop now because you have to sign in with the QR code just every time you move between a desktop. So that's not great.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't notice that at all. I just had to do one QR. Okay, but I don't use multiple desktops, so it's always just one. But
okay.
That's a bit irritating.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it just happened once, but I think it is a bit of a pain if you run multiple desktops with the WhatsApp app. Anyway, pick this week is an app for, I know it's available for iOS and for Android, maybe available for other platforms as well, I'm not sure. It's called Like That Garden. I think if you just search Garden in the Play or iOS stores, Apple stores, you'll find it. And it's an amazing app. I think this applies to everyone. You wander around, you walk through the park, you go for a jog, you just happen to be somewhere and you see a flower or you see a tree or you see a plant and you wonder, what the hell plant is that? And it looks like a bit unusual. With this app, you take a photograph, I wouldn't tell you what it is.
That's amazing.
And it works.
I've been looking for something like this. There was an app that I used a while ago that was something similar, but you had to take the leaf and put it on a white background and take a proper photograph. But, I mean, if this works...
Yeah, no, it works beautifully.
Like that.
I see it's $3 in the iTunes store that you've just fired up here.
Yeah,
but, it's free on Android.
Version, that's weird. It's probably a better app on iTunes, isn't it?
Could be. Could be, who knows. But it's free on Android. Looks like it's $3 on iOS. It's not giving you RAND pricing, though.
No, I'm a US store.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll have a look at that. But I've used it quite a few times now on flowers and a few plants, and it's identified them, no problem.
Interesting. Yeah, that's very handy. Very, very handy.
Yeah, so if you're at the nursery or something and you wonder what that is, it's not labeled properly, or just walking through the park, you sometimes, you know...
How good is it with? Would you know how good it is with indigenous plants like fynbos and those things? Do you think it'll pick it up?
I don't know. I haven't used it extensively. I've taken a couple of flower picks with it and a couple of plants in my garden. I haven't tried trees and I haven't tried. I haven't tried local indigenous plants yet.
I'll certainly try that out.
But certainly, for the things I tried, it worked very well. And what I know about plants is dangerous, so. It's very useful, and I'm often wondering, you know, what the heck is that?
Interesting.
Yeah.
And this is the app developers that you have, right? That is the same.
It's a little green background with a little flower icon on it.
Because I see the company also does a whole bunch of other type of identifying apps.
Oh, do they?
Look into those too.
Okay.
Like that pets, like the decor and furniture. And the style. Very interesting. Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. Well, I'll check that out. It's called what's it called?
Like that garden.
Like That Garden. Right, that's the show. We just need to do our quiz results now. Let me kick start with our first question. I think we answered some of these questions during the course of the podcast today. MTN previously said that it would spend 8 billion rand on its South African network in 2016. How much has it increased that to? The answer is 11.7 billion rand, although we may as well call it 12 billion. We'll accept that as an answer as well.
Second question. What was the name of Google's new mobile IM that's taking on WhatsApp? And the answer, obviously, is Allo.
Allo.
Not Allo, but Allo. Allo, yeah.
The third question, MTN and Vodacom used which technology this week to demonstrate data transfer speeds of a gigabit per second over mobile? And the answer is LTE-U or LTE unlicensed.
Nice. Fourth question, which of its products did Vodacom pull the plug on earlier this month? And the answer is M-Pesa.
And the last question in this week's quiz, which well-known American billionaire has acquired a $1 billion stake in Apple? And the answer to that question is Warren Buffett.
Also a very good investment.
If he's buying, it's probably a good buy.
Yeah.
Good. That's our show. As always, if you've got any feedback, please send us an email, info@techcentral.co.za. Otherwise, leave a comment under the post. Until next time, from Richard and myself, cheers.
Ciao.